What are we? What makes us what we are? And what we're gonna be? I think it's that right there. It's grit.
And we're back, boys. This is the All Grit Podcast. It has been so long since we have been back.
Did y'all miss us?
It feels so good to be back. I am your humble host, Caleb. Joined alongside me with the best crew that you could ever ask for. Adrian, how are you? The OC, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic, man. It's been a fun summer. So yes. Much has happened, but we've been busy. But we are back to talk Lions today.
Good to see you, bro. Clay, the stat guy.
I'm hyped, man. Football's in the air, and let's go.
And last but certainly not least, we're coming off the bench. We got Ivan with us today, the water boy.
Let's go.
I like your name. Hey, Clay.
Three different nicknames, maybe four, throughout this podcast.
Good, because I don't know what position I play, to be honest.
I'm trying to figure out how to rename Clay. Edit name. There we go.
We'll add him in there.
Forgot about this, Clay. You are the stat guy. So that way everybody at home can see who we're rolling with on the YouTube tonight. So welcome in, boys. We are shooting live Thursday, 6:25 p.m. on a hot July afternoon and evening. We are the All Grit Podcast. I feel nervous. I haven't done this in a while.
We might be a little rusty, man. We got to shake the rust off.
We're super rusty. Expect all kinds of mess ups.
We need that tin man bottle.
Yeah, we need some dry.
This is like preseason. This is preseason, guys. This is like game one preseason. We're just trying to get some plays out there on the field.
You know what, bro? Speaking of preseason, what comes before preseason? Ivan, help me out with that.
Training camp.
Ding, ding, ding. And Adrian, why don't you tell everybody back home what the All Grit Podcast is?
The All Grit Podcast, we have got connections. We have got people in high places. If you don't know, we'll let you know. So the Detroit Lions are having their training camp. And every year since Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes has taken the reins, it seems like these tickets for training camp are just harder and harder to get. And there were some articles this week that confirmed that training camp tickets sold out within, 20 minutes of it opening up on Tuesday at 10 a.m. There was about, I want to say, maybe up to 15,000 people in virtual line trying to get tickets. Yeah. And your favorite podcast, the All Grit Podcast, scored some tickets to training camp this year. So we will have coverage, exclusive coverage for you guys if you listen in this summer, of what our Lions are up to, how we're looking. And it's not just a normal training camp. We'll have a joint practice with the Houston Texans. So we as a crew are super excited to be there in person, get some live looks, maybe get some pictures with some players, some folks. And it's going to be a great, great episode after we film there, because we'll have some insight that you might want to know heading into this season. So we were super happy we were able to score some tickets.
And I think it was just 20,000 just on the one we were going for. So I think each practice had 20,000.
It was crazy.
It got up to 20. I know it got up to like 11 or 12, but I didn't hear anything. But
I got kicked out and went back in. And I was at 19,000, like 100.
Oh my gosh.
Dang. Wow.
That was just for August.
For that game.
For the Texans.
Yeah. Yeah. I was telling Caleb just yesterday, like, it was 9:58. I'm at work. I'm in a meeting. And I'm just like hitting refresh because I'm like trying to pay attention to this meeting. And then when I hit refresh, it was like 9:59. They released it a minute early. It was like it was open to you to go wait in line virtually. So I like hopped in. And even though I was like a minute early, I was still like 3,000 in line. Crazy.
Yeah, because as soon as you told us, I got on and I looked at my clock and it was 10 straight up. It let me in and I was 5,000 something in line.
And then you didn't even get any tickets, right?
By the time, you know, I was, you told me not to refresh it. So I just kind of let it sit there. Right. Yeah. And I swear I was sitting there for an hour and it just kept going down and down and down. And then finally, when I got in, it was like, sorry, sucka.
Sold out.
You know what? They had a tone as soon as I finally got in. No, that was my reaction when they told me I couldn't get tickets. This is what they. They didn't have any.
You know who got tickets though? Remember Hector and Diego that went with us last year?
Yeah,
they scored some tickets for the Houston one, so they're going to see us there. They'll be there too. Awesome. Yeah.
Oh, nice. So now Clay can come.
Well, you know they have their own tickets.
They got four or two.
No, I think they're bringing people. They scored their own tickets. You know what I mean?
Well, they can give one to the All Grit podcast to get our whole crew in there. So we gave some to them
last
year.
Maybe one of the listeners, maybe there's a listener that has one extra ticket to the August 21st Houston Texans joint practice. We need one. We need one more.
Let's start a GoFundMe for Clay to get us to that game.
Practice. But if I can't make it, I do have announced I will be at the Hall of Fame game.
Yo!
In July, coming up, I think it's a couple weeks.
Yeah, July 31st, I think.
Let's go. Yeah. Have fun with watching all the second and third and fourth.
This is awesome. I was going to say, we're going to have exclusive content all summer. We got Clay at the Hall of Fame game, right? He'll get to see Jim Harbaugh in the khakis. And who else? They got the Hall of Fame class being inducted. They'll be there.
Oh, really? That's tight. I didn't know that they did that because I never watched it.
During halftime, and I think we got to do some more research, but I think our ticket includes the ceremony, but we got to figure all that out. But
okay. Nice.
I guess at halftime, they always come out and they wave with their gold jackets on and
stuff. He's probably going with Johnny Almonds, bro. You know that dude.
No, actually, we're going to just me and a couple of my buddies from our hall just got together. I have a friend, Steve. He's got family, lives in Ohio. We're just crashing at his mom's house after the game. So
good old 21-year-old selves.
Yeah, we're all down there in sleeping bags, and
I like it.
All right, bro, so we got some good content.
I wish I could go, Clay. Thanks for inviting me, but I got a tea time on Friday. I can't make it.
Hey, man, I respect it. I understand. Hey, so I'm happy you guys get to go to training camp, though, so I'm glad we all get to go to something.
Yes.
And we all got tickets to something, so it's awesome.
And the All Grit podcast will have inside information, whether it's the Hall of Fame game. Clay is good with getting interviews or pictures or at least a little something. I don't know about Adrian. Every time he goes to a game, nothing.
Who Clay met? Like, do they even know who Clay bumped into?
No, Clay. Who'd you bump into last?
So we're in the works, and I know he's a very busy man, so he's not able to get on here. I totally understand. But Nate Burleson, shout out to Valentine Vodka.
Woo!
So he did a little meet and greet for his new flavored vodka that came out in Detroit. So I swung through. I went in there early just so I could see if I can get in there before everybody else got packed in there. So I was able to talk to him, and he's going to try to make it on the pod at some point. So
let's go! Bro, that's insane. Nate Burleson, man.
Nate's going to be on the pod.
Guy. He loves Detroit. He had a clothing company, a Lion Blood, back in 2013 when he played in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
He just loves Detroit, and he think it'd be really cool. So the fact that he came through, you know, at Detroit again with the Valentine vodka just shows his roots with Detroit. So good stuff.
He loves Detroit, and Detroit loves him, man. Great guy.
So once again, you can make it, bro. Get on here. We got you, bro. He's on CBS the other day.
On.
This is awesome.
All right, boys. Well, let's get into today's little itinerary. We have a couple things we want to hit. We have our first annual All Grit trivia game. I'm not sure if Ivan is ready for this yet. How's your history with Detroit Lions, Ivan?
I still remember the 0-16 season. That's all I remember when I first saw.
Okay. Well, most of the trivia is, well, I'm not going to give that to you. It's going to be a little bit before and a little bit after. So everyone, I kind of picked more of the recent stuff because you guys are so young. I didn't go back to, you know.
All right. All right. Well, appreciate
it. The overtime.
There might be
Taylor's heads, no. Tails.
Yeah. Who called it in the air? Trivia question. All right, boys, let's get into it. So Frank Ragnow, this is very old news by now, but Frank Ragnow is retired. Adrian is shedding tears over there. He wanted to talk about this just for a little bit because we've already moved on. We need to start thinking about who's going to be the center of the future. So, Adrian, go ahead and tell us your feelings.
All right. Well, ever since I heard that, yep, cue the music. Bro, I was literally, like, I was, in all honesty, even contemplating buying a Frank Ragnow jersey for this new season.
You cursed him.
Like, I love this guy. He's been with us since Matt Patricia era, and I'm going to start crying if I start talking about him, but he was one of my favorite players on the entire team because he was just, like, he was undervalued. I know we're going to talk about him. We're like, he was the best. But at the time being, before we retired, I just felt like we didn't talk about him enough. And this guy's an all pro. But what makes me sad is after I heard the news and he's retiring, right? I go through the five stages of grief. And then Netflix comes out with this awesome documentary, Quarterback, where we get to see our very own Jared Goff with an inside scoop on how he prepares, how this last season went. If you're a big Lions fan, highly recommend it. Just skip through all the Kirk Cousins crap. It's a waste of time. Just skip through those parts. And in that series, it rebroke my heart how much Goff talked about Frank Ragnow in one episode. There's an episode where they walk through Jared's pre-snap checks, right? All the stuff he has to do in under 30 seconds. And a big part of his process was Frank really calling the pass rush, calling protections. They had a really good system going, which I personally think really fed into our offense and how good it was. After watching the show, I realized how much of the offense Jared was in charge of. Not as much Ben. Like, I thought it was Ben Johnson 99%, Jared Goff 1%. After watching this, it was more like, now I feel like it was 60-40. Like,
and obviously, that's something exactly we talked about Wednesday night with a buddy. Is it made me feel a little bit better about Ben Johnson leaving. Yes. Like, it's like, okay, like, we good. Like, we're gonna have a little bit of a slow start, I think, still while everything gets in motion. But it made me feel so much better how much Goff is in control of this offense.
Absolutely, bro. I was really impressed. I was like, wow. Like, I wish I could have had this documentary like 4 years ago to really understand like Jared's process. If you guys think we're talking blasphemy here, just watch the documentary and look at his process, his mental process before the snap, and how much decision making power Jared has. Which, like you just said, makes me feel better about Ben Johnson leaving.
Yeah.
But now with Frank retiring, it made me re-sad about everything. It's just like, dude, like him and Jared had such a good system going. That now they kind of have to re-engineer that pre-snap process with the new center. And we still don't know who that is. And we can keep talking about Tate Ratledge, you know, side note, him and along with a bunch of second round picks are holding out right now on their contract to get it fully guaranteed. So it's like, we don't even have him locked in. Like, is it going to be Glasgow? Is it going to be Tate Ratledge? Is it going to be someone else? Like, hopefully this gets answered mid training camp, so that they can have a good routine heading into the season. But just had to get that off my chest.
But to go along with that, I think every day into this offseason, the draft is making more and more sense.
Yes.
As far as Frank didn't just leave us high and dry. I think Frank told the team after last season, before the draft, like, hey, I'm going to give it a go. Mm-hmm. Well, my body's saying no right now.
My mind is...
Exactly.
What was that again, Caleb?
Not, and I'll just clear my throat. Let me clear my, man, I just keep going.
So just again, props to Frank for not leaving us high and dry. Like, he wants us to succeed. He's still, I think he's still somehow going to be part of this team. Like, I
don't, absolutely. Before we move on for this, I have one last hot take, and I want it to be listened to by all our people out there on the All Grit podcast. But
that anyway. You and Claire are not going to be slappies this year? Because it's already starting. My God.
No, we're like, I'm like at a, like a sad slappy. Like I hinge so much on the offensive line, and right now it just feels like we're missing so many parts to it. So
Go ahead. What's your hot take?
All right. Well, I'll say it. So here's my dream hot take. And you heard it here first. I think and I believe deep down that Frank Ragnow is going to watch the Lions during the season. He's going to miss being on the field. And come playoff time, he is going to unretire for one last run with Detroit. It's been done before by other players, and gosh darn it, he's going to do it here in Detroit.
What about not being a slappy this year did you not understand?
Well, I mean, Bridgewater did it last year, so
exactly. On. I was just going to reference that. Bridgewater did that. Had a good offseason. Frank's got more than half a year to just kind of recover. And then, you know, based on the playoff mood, vibe, he's going to be like, all right, let me have one last run here. Play 3-4 games. Win a Super Bowl. Get a trophy in Detroit. Boom.
Let me ask you a question regarding that. So in order for that to happen or to, you know, push your agenda here, would there have to be an injury on the offensive line for that to happen? Or are you saying with the five starters, they're going to bring him back? He's going to come back with the continuity that's going to take them into the playoffs. You think that they're going to bring in this guy with no injuries on the offensive line?
I didn't say he necessarily had a start, but he will be back and at the very least be a sixth guy in rotation if our offensive line is there, which right now I don't really have high hopes. So in my mind, I feel like he would come in and either fill center or guard, most likely center if he's coming back, and then move the guy to guard. Yeah, kind of so like a Graham Glasgow situation where he would fill in at center and then he'd move over to guard once Frank was back.
So there is two players who remind me. So Eric Weddle actually was retired and he came back for the Los Angeles Rams run when Stafford won the Super Bowl that year. So then he played two games only. Or one game. You still can play. Yeah, well, that's you're eligible to come back if you're retired. Then yeah. I think Gronk unretired as well when they were going close to the Super Bowl. So basically, they're still in season. I think he came back.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, man, we got to change your name. We got to change your name from Waterboy to the Stat Guy. What's Water up going Boy, on, bro?
Some references. Woo! Exactly. So they could kind of warm him up into it. He doesn't have to start. But he'd come back and kind of finish one last playoff run and push us over the edge and get that bowl.
I like that take. I like
get
it.
That trophy.
That's a good take.
Here's what I think of that. None of that's happening. Okay. He's done. He can barely walk because of his feet. He wants to go fishing and he doesn't want to see a football for about 5 years. He's not going to be a coach like Clay wants him to be because he's getting away from football. He's just gone, bro.
I think
he'll
be a coach. I think he'll be the towel guy. The guy's going to get a ring.
Guy.
He'll be an advisor. He could probably be an advisor.
Yeah, but I don't think he's being an advisor for at least – he's going to take a break from football. You're going to see that dude gone for 2-3 maybe 4 years, and then all of a sudden you're going to start hearing Frank Ragnow. What? Oh, he's going to take over the offensive line coaching from your boy who's moving on to a head coach somewhere. So we'll see.
Okay, Frank Haley. Yeah.
Yeah. But
from Frank to Frank.
That's what the All Grit does. All Grit podcast gives you the highest of highs and also the most reality of realities here. All right. So are we good on the Frank and Tate, or you want to talk more about the Tate holdout? Or
I mean, that's a whole different like debate in itself.
Yeah. So let me get your guys' thoughts on
ESPN for the whole topic of it. because it's not just Tate Ratledge himself. It's the whole league. Yeah. It's the whole collective.
So issue. Just so our listeners,
the second round got signed. That's it.
Right. So just so our listeners know, two selections from the second round have gotten all guaranteed contracts, which is the first time ever in NFL history. So now everyone in the second round, all their agents are like, well, maybe just hold off on this. Maybe we can all get guaranteed money too, which, you know, pads the pockets of the agent. So of course they're going to try to pound that, but
so this was, sorry, I took notes, so I was ready with the facts. So it was Alfred Collins from the 49ers. So he got signed a $10 million deal. So basically he got 88% guaranteed. So that sets kind of pays the way for Ratledge. So I wanted to bring up why it's important. It's because I think right during minicamp, he was taking first team reps. So basically he was replacing Ragnow. So I think this is kind of why it matters. So with the news around the league, a lot of players from Sickerman are holding out. So right, kind of, I think it's a big point. Deal. So it's very a big deal.
It's Let a big me ask deal you this.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this without cutting you off. Sorry, bro. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
So Tate was drafted 57, correct? Which is near the end of the second.
Yes.
At that rate, I just heard today that his guaranteed, we're talking about a $1.something million guarantee. That's all it, you know, we get so lost in the, oh, he wants a fully guaranteed. Well, most of it is fully guaranteed besides a little bit. So being at number 57, you're only talking about $1.2 or $3 million guaranteed, which, Adrian, do you remember what the roster of the 2025 cap space is?
Ooh, I got to look
at it. You said it like 6 or 7 episodes ago. $250 million for the cap. So once again, we're talking about less than 1%. So when you're the billionaire and you're worried about, oh, should we fully guarantee him? Remember, you're talking less than 1% to just do it. So should the Lions do it? Yes. Get him in camp. Fully guarantee his stuff and let's go.
I know, man. It's just like the spot he's going to fill is dire at this point. It's like... Yeah.
It's given. He needs to...
Like, he knows. He knows where he has the team at this point. Like, I would play hard to get to because who else are you going to turn to at this point?
Right. So we have some breaking news. Go ahead. We have some breaking news, and I like Clay to... Clay, you sent us a little something about 5 minutes before this episode.
Injury?
You got...
Levi, who likes to pronounce that last name for me because I'm
right.
There you go. Thank you, Caleb. Yep. He's out at least the first 4 games of the season. The first 4 games, he is out. So once again, I think this draft is making more and more sense. This is not a surprise to Detroit Lions. Like, loser.
Sorry, that's going to be the drop. Whenever we talk about Levi Onwuzurike, it's just going to... Okay, yep. Continue.
He's always hurt. Yep, nothing new. But he's on the hot seat, so...
He got a 1-year contract, yeah. Well, he's got to perform the rest of the way.
He's missing a quarter of the season already.
Yeah. That's not to say the off season too. But and I mean, it's like Clay saying, like, I'm sure this isn't like a injury that just happened during training. Like, it with him missing the first 4 weeks and immediately they issued it today, it sounds like they already knew about this. So like Clay, like you're saying, like the draft makes so much more sense now. Yeah. Like why we took Tyreek in the first round, why we're taking Ratledge in the second, like obviously in-house, they knew what they needed to do. So
everybody's going to be mad about the picks, but once again, when you have your offense and your defense set, you need, as we saw last year, you need depth.
Yeah.
They're boring picks, but as we saw last year, we need them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. So looking how it is now, McNeil's out, Onwuzurike's out. So who's your starters? You got Hutch on one side, you have DJ Reader. Injury boy on the other side. who's in the middle? You got DJ Reader now and
Tyreek.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and then, you know, your rotation is you got Kentucky coming in.
Pascal.
Okay. Yeah. Pascal.
And, oh, you got Trey Wingo, seventh round.
He's on pup too, but he could be activated any day.
Yeah, Marcus Davenport. Davenport's the starter, yeah, on the other side. So, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is once McNeil and Onwuzurike are back, it makes me feel a whole lot more comfortable about the rotation. Yes. Because now it's like our rotation. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's like Tyreek shouldn't be starting it. Onwuzurike should be out there and Reader should be out there. But now O'Neal's out or McNeil's out. So it's like we're already having two backups starting game one is what I'm trying to say. So
with that, without being a slappy Caleb, so this is for you. What's the chances of Za'Darius coming back to Detroit?
Dude, I'm all for it. Pay that man his money. Give him a couple extra million. You're saving a couple with Frank Ragnow being out. He wants to be here. His girlfriend's here. He hasn't left Detroit all offseason. Like, just pay the man. Just get him on the line.
Yeah.
And even you go ahead.
I was going to say, just for you. Just another one.
Yeah. 1 year and help him and Davenport. Davenport can play first and second down because he plays the run. And then you put Za'Darius in there for third down. Boom. Let's go.
Our problems are solved.
Right.
Well, yeah, we'll see. Let me ask you guys a question then. So looking at spring training and the preseason, what are you most looking forward to seeing? There's tons of new draft picks. You got second year guys that are going to take a great leap. That's the one thing, we'll start with Adrian, the one thing that you're looking forward to in either spring training or preseason?
Dude, there's only one thing I'm hyper-focused in this year is the offensive line. That's all I care about. Like every year you're going to have, you know, rookies from the previous year get better. And on a normal year, I would have paid more attention to that. But like, I'm so worried about the offensive line. That's what I'm going to be paying attention to all offseason.
So you're not concerned about Decker and Sewell and I almost said Jonah Jackson. Who's the other?
Glasgow and Mahogany.
Mahogany. You're not worried about those three, right? You're worried about the other two.
I mean, I am worried about Decker because he came up on the pup list today. Mm-hmm. It could be just a veteran rest type of deal, but
exactly
doesn't make me feel good. But I'm just gonna be watching the whole offensive line because they're a team, like they got to work together. So
you want to see some holes?
Yeah, I want to see that. So we'll see.
And I was listening to something. I'll get to you, Clay, next. Which really plays into preseason games, right? Because in the spring training, you can't really tell how the running back gets through holes because, you know, they touch a running back and the running back just keeps running. They're not allowed to tackle or anything. So really when it gets to that preseason is when you can see how the offensive line is truly making holes for the running back and time to throw.
Yeah.
Clay, what are you looking forward to most out of either spring ball? I mean, excuse me. Why do they call it spring training? We're in the summer.
Training camp. Training camp.
Thank you. I was naming it wrong.
I'm going to go more towards training camp, especially watching Jared Goff on quarterbacks. Is from the beginning of that season to how it ended, you really see how many injuries we had. Like, we had so many injuries. And so you watch the first couple games, and you just see, I'm so excited to see these guys on the field again. Like, as what we should have been. So to see these guys be on the field again together, have both sides of the football, to kind of bring that back to how we started last year as a team before all the injuries. But then for as far as players though, I know JMO is going to be even faster than last year. So I'm excited to see how fast he is in training camp, and also, Sonic, man. Sonic's going to be...
This is his year, bro.
Exactly. Like, this guy is going to be like, oh, he's got so much going for him, and it's just going to be able to see him in that number zero too, man. I think that's going to be cool.
So did you see his comment about he's excited because he's been lining up more in the wide receiver lineup than, you know, they're just giving him some more options over in the receiving core.
He's gonna eat, bro. Can you imagine like him and Monty in the game, and then the defense can't substitute, you know, for a corner or a slot, so they got to put a linebacker on Jahmyr Gibbs? That dude's toast. Like, he just has to run Texas routes. Like,
and I'm bringing that back to quarterbacks is just not just what Goff does in that 30 seconds in mid game, but what he's doing at home on the couch. Like, yep. He's memorizing these things on Monday, and then the next Monday have to relearn all the new. So, like, I'm ready, man. It's gonna be awesome.
That I'm excited for sure.
Nice, love it. All right, Ive, what you got? What are you looking forward to?
I just want to see the improvement in defense. What's his name? Aaron Glee.
Aaron Glenn.
Not Aaron Glee. Just see the improvement from the defense now that everyone's getting back. Yeah, from Coach Hep, his approach with the defense, but also seeing how the players improve. And see who, you know, steps up big. I'm just excited to see Hutch. Hopefully, just, you know, doesn't get injured again this year. So, I'm not trying to, no jinx or anything, but no. No, seriously, that's, I kind of feel with seeing, you know, the quarterback series, I feel very comfortable with the offense. And now that John Morton, I did see an article recently that Sam Laporta said that he's a, you know, great mind. I forgot if it was like Sports Illustrated or on the NFL Network. Okay. So, yeah, I feel confident with the offense. Only thing nervous about, yes, is the offensive line. But, mostly the defense. I just want to see the improvement. I think we'll be fine in the secondary just with linebackers and the defensive line. I want to see that massive improvement. Well, I think we'll be fine in the run game, but I figure out a way how to stop, you know, Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson, because I don't know. We'll see if we can do it, but I want to see. It's possible.
I have a just like gut feeling that the defense is going to take one step forward with Alan Shepard as a DC.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
I just have a gut feeling that he's gonna elevate
because
the defense.
We never, before last year, we were never hype on Aaron Glenn. Like, all respect to Aaron Glenn, but we were never hype with him. We were hype about the defense, but not Aaron Glenn. So
right.
Because why? Because he always played man defense, and we were never getting turnovers.
As a defensive back coach. Yeah.
Because the wild card run, like, he was on, like, that whole year, we were like, what the heck? What's going on?
Yeah, why
he saved himself time and time again.
Yep.
But, or the defense saved him, I should say.
Yeah. So I got actually somebody else. So I'm going to be looking forward to, and this player is going to be probably going to show out more in summer. Wait, what's it called? Keep calling it spring
training camp.
Isaac Tesla.
Mm.
So you are going to see this guy because Amon Ra don't need to be out there running as much. And I mean, they're warming up, but preseason games as well. Tesla will be out there getting balls, bro. Okay. He'll be out there getting balls. And guess who else?
Hey, yo.
I want to see Reed and Arnold in preseason and see.
Yes, bro.
I just want to see them lock down. I want to see Arnold grow. I want to see how good Reed really is.
Reed, man. He was like,
bro.
Oh, yes.
He was the number one. He was the number one cornerback.
Agency. Yes.
Yep. So,
dang.
That's who I want to see. I want to see some nice young receivers coming up.
I'm excited to see Amik Robinson. I the dog.
Bro, he's a dog.
Yeah, dude. And I'm excited.
All right. Here's my. What do they call this thing, Adrian?
Breaking news.
Sounder. Okay, you're going to see, whenever we play the Vikings, you're going to see Amik line up on Justin Jefferson. Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't care. Yes. I don't care if Arnold's out there and Reed's out there, and those guys are starting cornerbacks. Amik deserves to be on him whenever they play and lock him up man on man just because what he did the year before.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Played with him in high school, played with him in college, knows his game, knows how to lock him down.
I mean, Clay said this after the Lions had that awesome game to finish the season and Amik completely shut Jay Jettas down. Clay said, Amik is living rent-free in Jay Jettas' head the rest of the offseason. Like, that's all this dude's thinking about this year.
Yep.
And so I want to see Amik shadow him these next two games during the season. That's going to be so fun to watch.
Awesome. And nice round the table. Go ahead, Clay. One more.
One thing to go kind of pick up with Ivan about Hutch is I'm really all through his time in Michigan and as a Lion, and this is what got him hurt, was swinging that leg. So I'm really interested how he tackles this year. Does he lock that leg down now? Because he's got to, because it's got history now. So,
bro, that's a good point. I was watching all his sacks. They have a clip of all his sacks, and he has no regard for his body. He throws himself, and all he cares about is his hands and who he's grabbing. His legs, his knees, his head will go anywhere. All he cares about is wrapping up. So it's like, is he going to change? Is he going to form tackle just to protect himself? It's interesting. Right. All right, boys. Well, listen, we're getting to the fun part of the podcast. So we're going to play a quick sponsor, and then I'm going to let you boys decide. Are we going to play our new sounder for the 2025 All Grit podcast, or are we going to play the All Grit trivia? I'm going to ask you that as soon as we hear from our sponsor.
Quick break to show some love to the creator behind the intro music you hear every week, Faceless. When we set out to create this show, I knew I wanted something that felt completely custom and professional. And that's exactly what Faceless delivered. He creates original music tailored to each client, so no cookie cutter tracks, just sounds that match your vision and your brand. If you're launching a podcast or just want a custom intro, theme music, or even background beats, I highly recommend you check him out. Visit beatstars.com/facelessnoise or shoot him an email at facelessnoise2@gmail.com. Get that professional edge. Faceless will get you sounding right.
Thank you, Faceless.
Whoa. Using that AI, dude, fancy.
You know, we do what we do. And boys, right after that sponsor, I think that answers what we're playing next. I want you boys to listen to Faceless's brand new 2025 intro.
The premiere.
All Grit podcast.
Dan Campbell took this Lions job with a vision. That vision has ignited the Lions fan base in a way not seen perhaps ever.
This is a sleeping giant. This is a sports town. And, we feel the love.
Remember who you are!
Your NFC North champion.
But that just doesn't happen. You gotta work through it.
Oh! No, no, no! I uploaded the wrong one! Hey, Adrian, take it from here, man. I gotta be right back.
What? Bro, I was ready to run through a wall.
No. It's even better than that.
Wait, was the beta version, right? That was the beta.
That was the rough draft.
That was beta. Hold on.
Rough draft.
All right, let's start that track from the beginning. You boys ready? Let's go.
Dan Campbell took this Lions job with a vision. That vision has ignited the Lions fan base in a way not seen perhaps ever.
This is a sleeping giant. This is a sports town. And, we feel the love.
Remember who you are!
Yeah! NFC North champion. Everybody.
Vision winners. Back-to-back season.
Your team main odds of the prize worldwide now. Riding to your town. Win, then ride out. The crew here to break it down for y'all. To demonstrate how we game playing around with y'all. The humble host with punchlines to give you a black eye. Even a stat guy. Other teams drink the Kool-Aid, roll over and quit. I drank Campbell's soup and woke up all grits.
How we feeling about that, boys?
Yo, bro.
Did you sing that?
Was that? Are you crying, Clay?
Yeah, that was beautiful, man.
This dude is shedding a tear on YouTube. This dude is shedding a tear.
Let's go. I'm so ready, man. Let's run through that brick wall, man. Let's go.
No, that is that's Faceless. Yeah, I told him to write a bar on it, and he threw in the names of everybody, and So, there you go, Amen. All Grit Podcast. That's going to be the brand new intro season for our 2025 season two.
I love it, dude. Great work.
Yeah, great work. Great work. So, and you know what? We gave him a free shout out on the sponsor because of that drop. So, yeah, if you guys want any, if you have podcasts, if you're looking for any type of, I guess beats and anything. Yeah. He's got it for you. So he's been doing it since we were teenagers. So he's very, very good at what he does. So thank you, Gabe, for that. And, if you need his information, just, replay on our podcast and he'll hit you up on the sponsor. So appreciate that. All right. Now let's get into the first annual play a little intro music here. The first annual All Grit Podcast trivia game. You boys ready for this?
Let's get it done.
Let's go.
Let me give you the rules here. All right. So the rules are you're going to say your name as your buzzer. All right. Let's test the buzzers.
Hutch.
Your name's not Hutch.
Clay.
There you go. Clay's buzzer works. Ivan, do you know your name?
I got a gunshot.
Okay. There, you can use that if you want to. Adrian, test your buzzer. All right, sounds good. All right, boys, I wrote up 10 questions for the All Grit Trivia Season 1. These are called the dog days of summer, right? So we need to fill this airtime with some good things. We talked about everything that we could, but now we're going to give into some Lions trivia here. All right, so say your name when you know, and if you don't, I'll keep a tally of scores over on this side.
All right.
Winner gets something from me special at the end of the episode, all right?
Okay.
All right. Question number one. Which Detroit Lions quarterback holds the franchise record for most passing touchdowns in a single season? Adrian?
Jared Goff.
Hold on.
It's Jared Goff.
Hold on a second. All right, Ivan.
Dang, I was gonna. Okay, if it's Stafford.
Clay.
I know. I thought it was Stafford too. Clay, you want one last hit at it?
Oh, I'm gonna go Roddy P.
Bobby Lane.
Man, you guys are going through four quarterbacks. All right, the answer is most touchdowns in a single season. Scott Mitchell.
What?
32 touchdowns.
Wait, 32
touchdowns.
Crazy stat. Back in 1995. I didn't know that.
There you go. All right. Score is even.
I thought Jared Goff broke that record last year. I thought
I thought he broke the record. Yeah.
So all right. Double check me.
That'd be hilarious if you have this trivia game. You don't even have the answers.
Well, I asked AI for these questions, so AI might be wrong, bro.
You can't trust AI.
Yeah, you can't. No.
I'm just kidding.
All right. Well, you let me know if something's more than 32 touchdowns. We'll move on to question number two.
I swear. Oh, no, go ahead. Sorry.
Who is the only Detroit Lions player to record a 100 reception season before Calvin Johnson?
Clay? Herman Moore?
Clay's on the board, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, so I do have to correct because our listeners are probably going to correct us, bro, on that question. The top five single season passing touchdowns or just touchdowns?
Passing touchdowns.
Because passing touchdowns, it is Matthew Stafford, 2011. He got 41 touchdowns.
What the heck, man?
And then Jared Goff for the 2024 season got 37.
What the? So AI can't even get two quarter. AI's giving me Scott Mitchell the third one down.
He's fourth. Matthew Stafford threw 32. Well, he tied, I guess, in 2015. He tied with Scott Mitchell.
Who did?
Stafford, Goff, but Mitchell's four. Who's number three?
Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, and then Scott Mitchell and Stafford both had 32.
Oh good Lord. All right. Well, I'm glad no one got that point. Oh, wait. Someone did say, yes. Yeah, so who said Stafford then?
Ivan.
All right. Ivan's got one. Clay's got one. You guys good with that? Answer,
bro. I don't know if I can trust this game anymore.
No, it's good from here on out, bro. It's good from here on out.
I'm good for the money. I promise.
All right, Clay. Yep. Herman Moore, 123 receptions in 1995 before Calvin Johnson. All right. Third question. Who holds the franchise record for most career sacks as a Lion? Franchise.
Clay. Ivan.
Clay?
Luther Ellis.
Who else? Me. Who else buzzed in? Ivan?
Sue?
Clay.
No, it goes to Adrian unless he wants to just bow out.
I think I know who it is.
Did we get negative points for wrong answers?
No, but you can answer it, Clay, now, but you're not going to get a point because you already messed
the
up.
The answer doesn't matter because Hutch is going to break that record.
Come on, bro. Give me somebody. You might as well get a free point. What did you say, Clay? Ziggy. Robert Porche is the correct answer.
I said Luther Ellis. I should have went with Robert.
Yeah, that is crazy that you went Ellis over Porche, yeah. Bro. All right. 1-1. Adrian's just there looking good. Let's go to the fourth question. Who was the last Lions player before Aiden Hutchinson to record double-digit sacks in a rookie season?
Oh,
Clay.
Ivan.
Sue? Has to be Sue.
Yeah. Dominic Sue.
Good job, buddy. No rookie. All right. Okay. Yeah, and Dominic Sue had 10 sacks in 2010. All right, now we're going to get a little harder. I was just giving you guys some layups and then some ones that weren't accurate. All right, number five. How many NFL championships pre-Super Bowl have the Lions won?
Clay?
I'm
going to go with four.
Whoa. Dang.
53.
All right. So I'm going to give you extra credit. If you can name any of the years, I'll give you a point.
1957.
That's correct.
Dang.
Adrian, I'll give you 1 point if you can name any of the other 3 years.
1960.
No, because 57 was their last one, bro. Come on, bro. Ivan.
I know. Okay. If I'm not wrong, they won two in a row. But that 57 was the last one. 56?
You going to go 56?
Yeah.
We got 35, 52, 53, and 57.
Was right, but it was not 50s.
So all those all the NFC North teams that says that we have never won anything, bro, we won that. Four of them bad boys. It just happened to be before the Super Bowl era.
So basically, we would have won the first Super Bowl if it started in 57.
We need to get a Vikings fan on the pod.
All right, boys, here we go. You guys should know this one. Adrian needs to get on the board. It's 2-3. Ivan's got two. Clay's got three. Question six. What was the team's original name before becoming the Detroit Lions?
Ivan.
Ivan.
The Adrian. Nittany? It starts with N. Nittany Lions?
I don't know. I don't remember.
He said the Nittany Lions.
Portsmouth.
They were... The Portsmouth Spartans.
Yeah, the Portsmouth.
Adrian's on the board, ladies and gentlemen. Nice reach back. Are you guys looking up on your phones?
No.
So good job with those.
I got to see all hands in the air during these questions because that answer came off too clean, bro.
That was a nice one, man.
Portsmouth Spartans. There you go. All right. We got ourselves a game here. We got three questions left. It's still technically anybody's game. What year were the Detroit Lions founded?
Clay.
Clay?
1935.
Adrian.
Ivan, I put...
No, I was next. I was second. 1934.
Ah, yeah.
What a comeback.
What a comeback. So, Ivan, I couldn't... I heard Clay, but then I don't know who was actually next. So I'll let you boys fight it out.
I say Adrian, and I got the answer right. So
it's fine.
Were you going to say 34, Ive?
I was going to say 39, but then I remember all 34.
Right, so we gave it good. Ball never lies.
I
was going to say, if you look on your jacket, it probably says 1934, bro.
It's not on the jacket, no.
All right, 2-2-3. Two questions left. Literally anybody's game. Clay is about to lose this 3-point lead. How did the Lions play? Who did the Lions play in their most recent playoff appearance before 2023?
Clay.
Oh, Seahawks. Ivan. Yeah, it's.
Say it again. All right, Seattle, I need you guys Seahawks. To be quiet. Clay, say it again.
Seattle Seahawks.
What? It was Seattle.
Who buzzed in next?
I did.
Adrian?
I think it's Seattle, bro.
It's Seattle.
We lost at Seattle.
Yeah, it was when Matthews was there. Yeah.
Guys, you're wrong. Adrian.
Okay, I'm going to take a guess. Dallas Cowboys. What?
Dallas 2014.
No. 2016. I remember the year. Check it again.
Bro, is this an AI answer?
No, it's an AI answer.
Yeah, it's Seattle Seahawks, bro. Give me that point.
It's Seattle.
Bro, it's got to be Seattle. I mean, I got it.
Don't rage me.
Seattle was before Dallas.
No, it was right after. It was right after. I still remember. Yeah.
I remember it.
I remember it too. I remember being super sad, and then Stafford.
That was the last year that Kelvin Johnson retired, and that was the last year that they had that jersey before the newest one, which was the ugly one. I remember. Yeah, it was in Seattle. They lost 6-26. Quote me.
Ivan's on the money, bro. I just looked it up. Lions lost 26-6 against the Seattle Seahawks.
I told you.
In what year?
January 7, 2017.
It was the 2016 season going to
2017. I am never using AI again for trivia questions. These are horrible.
I remember.
Yep.
Wow. All right. Yeah. So Ivan gets that point.
I said Seattle.
No, Clay gets that point.
I am the host of this game. No.
I said the score, though.
We're going to start blowing the commissioner. Caleb's
all right.
Clay. The commissioner.
You know what? I'll give Ivan a point.
About half a point.
So you have three. Clay has four. Adrian has two.
All right.
Yeah, Ivan.
Because that was. Ivan gets a point just for pulling out the score, dude. Holy cow!
I was mad that game. Good job for keeping it near.
No, I still remember that game. Sorry.
This one should be accurate. I just pre-read it. Okay. Test your buzzers. Test your buzzer. Okay. Adrian. Just to look for that stupid drop than to say your name. Look, he's still looking for it. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Never mind, bro. Whatever. Water boy. What Lions quarterback threw five interceptions in a Thanksgiving Day game?
Oh.
Clay?
Who's thinking?
Clay? Clay?
Ty Detmer.
You guys want to wait to hear the question, or you want to keep buzzing in?
Ivan, let me guess. Joey Harrington? No.
I'll Adrian, guess. Would you like to hear the whole question?
Scott Mitchell.
What kind of
idiot would not wait to hear the whole question, Adrian? Listen.
Okay, let's wipe it clean.
What Lions quarterback threw five interceptions in a Thanksgiving Day game in 2012.
Clay.
Oh.
Clay.
It wasn't Stafford.
Right. I'm going to go with Stafford.
Adrian went right to the internet.
When Clay paused, he made me think, like, wait, was he drafted 2013?
He was drafted in 2009.
He was drafted in 2009. He played in that game, but that's what I was trying to think of who his backup was.
Was he injured?
Well, I for sure said Joey Harrington when I was thinking of it, and it was it came up as Matthew Stafford. So,
but Ty Detmer threw like 3 or 4 against Cleveland in like the early 2000s. So, but I was thinking of more like 7 or something like that. He threw like a all crazy amount.
So, going into the last question, we got Adrian at 2, Ivan at 3, Clay at 4. This last question is worth 3 points.
Okay. All right. I'm in. I was going to give up.
All right. Make boys it ready?
So at least me and Adrian can tie for a playoff. Winner takes off.
No, this is it. Okay. This is it. We're already at 55 minutes, so this is a 3-point play. Number 10. Who was the Detroit Lions quarterback before Matthew Stafford took over in 2009?
Clay?
I'm
going to say Dan Orlovsky.
Man, that was my guess, too.
No. He's searching it. Hold on. Let me think.
I'll take a guess. Go ahead, Ivan.
Started the season, yeah, because I think Dan was sub or whatever.
Oh,
No. Let me.
Oh, I know what.
Okay, no, I got
you
the
say
next
Ivan?
Yeah. I was going to say Kitna.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Oh,
Kellen Moore.
I don't know.
Adrian?
Kellen Moore.
All right. Now, since it's all even, let me throw in this buffer. This person was the starter at the end of 2008. So he didn't necessarily start in the beginning of 2008, but he was a starter in 2008, right before Stafford started in 2009. Now, who was it? Say your names. This is a tough one, bro.
No idea, bro. I'm lost.
What? Can you give us his jersey? Give us his jersey number.
I'll give you a clue. All right. Get your buzzers ready.
All right.
The infamous game where Stafford is hit by the Cleveland defender. Oh, and goes over to the sideline. He was standing over in the sideline when Stafford says, I can play. Get off me. I can play. Runs over to
Clay.
Clay?
No, I say Culpepper, but no. Oh, Culpepper.
Dante Culpepper. Let's go. Clay reaching through the cobwebs. You deserved it, bro.
Yeah, you deserved it.
Wow. Yeah, that was a great answer. Great question as well.
That's a good question, man. Because that oof.
You don't think of Clay, you don't think of him being a starter. I think of him always being a backup, and yeah. Yep. So
because he was right, he put his helmet on. He puts his helmet on.
Yeah, he was going back in.
Yeah, yep. He said, "Sit down."
All right, boys. One last thing from our fellow All Grit podcaster. Little speak pipe. By Plax.
What up, boys? This is Plax. Sorry I couldn't make the pod today, but appreciate you guys keep holding it down for us. But one thing I want to ask you guys about, you know, as we get real close to camp, obviously starting to be a little bit of a storyline lately. Tate Rallage, center, he hasn't signed a deal yet. I just wanted to get a little bit of a check your guys' temperature on that. Are you guys worried about it? Are you not? I'm not super worried about it. I mean, he's the heir apparent to Rag now, so it's like a deal has to get done. But, you know, sometimes these things make you a little uneasy as you get closer to camp, and it's like, you know, we need this. We obviously need this guy getting reps in. So let me know what you boys think. Peace.
I don't know. I think we did a pretty good job talking about that a little earlier. What do you guys
think? Great minds think alike, bro. He was worried about the same thing we were.
I want to bring up, okay, we did talk about what we're looking forward to, but can we talk about who do you think the most valuable player this year will be for us? What do you think?
I'm playing the game. I'm like, Clay!
I want to put it out there. Who do you think is going to be the most valuable player going forward?
So I view it as this.
Can we take Jared Goff out of the discussion?
Yeah, yep. Of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. He definitely is number one. I would put number one. So,
I
think the next one up is Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
Sonic is so valuable to this team.
He's our ace.
Yeah, he's our ace.
Well, I don't know. Like, we have so many, like, if Goff, Sonic, or St. Brown go down, that's. talking about it, but those are.
So I wanted to bring up, remember in those last 3-4 games, he was on a touchdown streak, and right before we played Washington, and Ben Johnson didn't even use him at all, which frustrated me. Mm-hmm. And they should have used him because their defense, running defense wasn't good, which was evident when they played against, what was it, the Eagles in the semifinals. So I just feel like, yes, Sonica can do basically just do it all, you know, receiving and running. So, and he's very shifty, you know, very fast. So that's who I think will be our most important going forward.
That's a great answer. I'm trying to rack my brain over here to see if I can disagree with you, but just to play devil's advocate and pick somebody else, I'll go out there and say the person that Adrian said would have more more yards than in Amon-Ra, right? Which is J-Mo. If he is already, they're already saying he's going to be better than last year. Expect another breakout year. What did he get? 1,000 last year. So he's going to get 1,400 yards this year. He's crisper on his routes. He's already a speed demon. He's still faster than Sonic. I'd like to see a race between those two, actually. You're talking minuscule amounts. But just to add another name to the hat, I would say him, because if he can just pull safeties off, it's just going to open up. And that's the thing. Like, he can be such a decoy that Laporta gets balls and Sonic gets balls and Amon-Ra gets balls. So I'm only saying MVP because he makes everybody else around him better. Plus, he's still going to get his.
That's
a good take.
Yep. And especially if we're all talking about offense, but if you're looking at defense, a Pinay, man, I'll respect, you know, not being disrespectful to Pinay, but Pinay he's holding it down on the defense, man. And as far as pregame, after game, like, he is hype. He gets the crowd into it. He gets the players into it.
Yep.
He wants it so bad.
Yeah.
I think it should have been asked, we need an offensive MVP and a defensive MVP.
Yeah, we can do both, I guess.
Next episode.
Yep. That's all true. Right. All right, we'll hold it.
We'll think of that for next episode.
Well, it's great to be back. It's great to be back, boys. Like, it's in the air. I don't like to wish away summer because I love summer, but...
Next episode, we'll start with our new intro. Thanks to Faceless. Awesome work there, bro. Got me hyped. Stay tuned. This summer, we got a lot of great content coming.
Yeah, so we will be arriving at training camp August 21st. But in between now and August 21st, if there's any breaking news from the camp, we will certainly send out a quick little blast out on the interweb for you guys. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, all the listening features on your Amazon, Alexa. Are we on Alexa? Spotify.
Yeah, just ask her.
Apple. Just ask for the All Grit. Remember, you need 2 T's for that because the other group took the T from us. We got in there too late, bro. So we had to grit it up. All right. For the All Grit Podcast, I'm your humble host. We out.